or tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
Saturday morning, November the 24th, 1990. Thanksgiving weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Linda Sutter is the speaker of the morning.
For truly I have looked for, I have sought after, and I have seen those that have been drawing unto me. And I say, my children, truly the army is being prepared with the final battle clothes to go forth. I say, I do send an army that shall go forth that is not ill prepared. And I say unto you, even this morning, as I did prepare a people by the praises that went forth, and my glory hath fallen upon thee, that the power of the enemy might be broken in your presence. I do this as an encouragement to you in this hour. I say unto you, ye do wait in the battlefield. And I say, I do teach ye patience as ye do wait. I do prepare as ye do wait. I say unto you, know that the voice of the Lord shall issue the command, and ye shall go forth at the voice of the Lord, and ye shall have the victory as the Lamb goeth forth. I say unto you, my people, know that it is a time of patient waiting, as I do prepare ye to go forth. Think it is not a time of being not used, but know that I do prepare ye with the final thing, for the time of great warfare is nigh at hand.
Dr. Noel has a little message for us here this morning.
I really wanted to share with you about children. I want to talk to the parents about their children. And share with you something that happened in my life with my grandchildren. My daughter-in-law, God bless me with a wonderful, God-fearing daughter-in-law. God-fearing, Bible-reading, believing daughter-in-law. I'm the most wonderful thing in the world. And she called me and she said that they were having trouble with my grandson, that he was sleepwalking. And my son had mentioned this to me in sort of a laughing manner about 6 months previous to this. And he told me that someone could wake up and find him here and there. And it really just sort of went by. It didn't register. But my daughter-in-law called me concerned. And she said that he was sleepwalking and that he was waking up afraid at night. And he was sleepwalking. And so I said, well, let's pray about it. And we prayed a few minutes. I said, you know, this is a spiritual thing. And she called me for advice as a pediatrician. But I told her this was a spiritual matter. It was not medicine. And medicine is called sleepwalking and night terrors. And medicine doesn't understand the cause of them. But I said, you can bind the spirit of sleepwalking. And you can bind the spirit of night terrors. And so we went through it, and she asked me, well, how do you do that? Well, I said, the same way we did when we went to Winworley Church that day, and I bound those spirits in you. And so she said, okay. And I talked to her about a week later, and she said, you know, the day that I began binding those spirits, he quit sleepwalking and the nightmares disappeared. And to this day, they have never returned. So I thought that was interesting. I had told parents people that they could bind spirits, but it's the first time it ever occurred in my family with my grandchildren. And there's something about it when it happens in your own family, when it happens close to you. You know, James Dobson put out a book called Parenting is Not for Cowards. And in that, he refutes the theory that a child is born as a blank slate, and that everything that goes into the child is what determines his personality. Well, the nurses in the nursery could tell me, I've been in pediatrics for 30 years, and the nurses in the nursery can tell you which children are going to be rebellious and which children are going to be stubborn, and by the way they act when they're born. And Dr. Dobson says that these children come into life this way. And so when my granddaughter was born, she had a rebellious spirit. I mean, she was a cantankerous, crying baby. She demanded to be held. She'd kick her head back. You'd try to hold her. She wouldn't nurse very long. She cried a lot. You couldn't lay her down. You couldn't leave her with a babysitter. You couldn't do anything with her. When you got ready to travel and you put her in the car seat, you could leave her there about 10 minutes, and then she would begin to wail. And she could wail at 2 months of age, 6 weeks, until she could wail an hour and a half. I mean, and she could make it so unpleasant that you just take her out of that car seat. And I went to visit my children, and they'd been to the pediatrician at least half a dozen times for this, and gotten a number of formula changes, some colic mixes, and some other things. Nothing helped this. And so we went to church, and we left the baby in the church nursery. And went in, and I kneeled down in the pew, and it rose up out of my spirit, and the Holy Spirit just clearly spoke to me and said, you can bind that rebellious spirit in your grandchild. And he quickened a verse to me in 1 Peter, and it is 1 Peter 3, verse 4. And here Peter is talking to the wives in the congregation. And verse 3 says, let not your beauty be that wood or the outward adorning of the hair or the wearing of gold or putting on fine apparel, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible ointment of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. So I said to Chris, let's bind that rebellious spirit and release on her a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. And so we got on our knees and we began to pray. And I guess we prayed about 10 minutes, and I got a release in my spirit, and we sat back. And after the service, we went in, and I said, how did she do? And they said, well, she said she cried for about 10 minutes, and then suddenly she went to sleep, and she's been sleeping ever since. Fine. So we got her, and we put her in a car seat, and we carried her out, and we drove over to the restaurant, and the first time that they'd ever been able to eat out with this child, she slept all the way through the meal. And she just cooed, you know, and she was the sweetest little child you have ever seen. And so my daughter-in-law said, what do I do? I said, twice a day, when you put her to bed at night, when you wake her up in the morning, you bind that perverse, rebellious spirit that came down through our family line, and you release on her a gentle and a quiet spirit which is pleasing to God. That's been 18 months ago. I saw my daughter-in-law last weekend, and I said, how's it going? She said, it's most just beautiful. I said, how's she doing? She says, beautiful. She said, I'm still praying over her. I say the same thing that you told me to say the very first day. She said, I say it twice a day, morning and night. I said, how long are you going to say it? She says, as long as there's breath in my body, I'm going to stand for my child, and I am going to bind this thing. And I said, that's right, darling. You bind it as long as there's breath in your body, because that's how long you have authority over it. I say to you that you have authority over your children. And I say that you should remember that you can bind these perverse spirits that have come down through your family line. This was a familiar spirit that had been assigned to my family line by the enemy, who tried to take advantage, tried to come in. And you don't have to accept a rebellious spirit in your children and your grandchildren. You can stand and you can bind it in the name of Jesus. And you can release a spirit that's pleasing to God. And that's what I wanted to share with you all this morning. That you don't have to let the enemy steal your grandchildren and your children. And he will steal them by putting a rebellious spirit in them. And if you accept this rebellious spirit, the enemy will eventually steal your children. I have a stepson who is still in rebellion today. Still in rebellion. And if I had known then what I know now, I pray for him now, but he's at the age of election. He's been saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, but he still prefers to be in rebellion because he likes it that way. And slaves that love their chains will never be free. And so I just wait for God to just situation in his life for him to be set free. Jesus, you said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Lord, we just thank you that you're healing now, Lord. What's his name? We just hold Jonathan up to you now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Rebuke this injury in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Rebuke it in the name of Jesus, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. Speak healing and restoration to Jonathan. Thank you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God. You can let me get on my house here.
The prayer clause coming along okay someplace? Fine. Thank you. Well, we'll make the announcements and take the offering whenever this service is concluded. We'll turn the rest of the morning to Linda to minister as the Lord has laid on her this morning.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the revelation of the Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the word that quickens and makes alive and cleanses us. We pray that the word would cleanse hearts this morning, that the truth will set people free, that those that are crying out for freedom will find deliverance and victory this morning. We pray, Lord, I pray especially for the spirit of repentance to be upon your people, that God, nothing will remain unturned, that every place where we have given Satan rights and where he has had a foothold, maybe every stone may be unturned and every work of darkness exposed, that Jesus Christ can come forth in the life of each one here this morning. We pray, Lord, for the word to, as it's quickened to our hearts, that it will take root, that it will grow, that it will bear fruit 100-fold in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the last 11 months, since God began giving this revelation on the spirit of Asmodeus, it's called Asmodeus as it relates to men and Asmodeus as it relates to women. It has other names as well, but there have been so many questions and there have been so many people that have been, wanting the tapes and wanting to read about this and wanting more information that the last three camp meetings I have been ministering on this subject. It seems to be a truth that God is bringing forth at this moment to set us free. And if you've come today, if you've come to this camp meeting and you feel that I've talked to many of you that said, this is right talking to where I'm at. Well, I'm just excited about that because God is going to set you free if he hasn't already. We've seen deliverance from this spirit already in the camp, and we're going to talk about the spirit of Asmodeus this morning. I want to call it something else as well. It's a marriage-breaking spirit, and it's a spirit that affects people and even keeps them from entering into relationships, breaks up relationships before they can start. And if you want to know where I got all of my information from, I went to the library, and I have Xeroxed pages out of the material that you can find at your public library. I went to the library up in Michigan. I went to the library right here in Hot Springs and began to find information about this spirit. And this all came about some months back when deliverance came to my own life. It was very, very difficult for me to admit that in the beginning. And I still have some difficulty sometimes, but not quite as bad as at first. We don't like to think that we have problems. That's what Reggie Foreman calls demons. You know, we call them, well, I've got this problem, because we don't want to call it a devil. We don't like to admit that we have problems. You know, we like to come to church, and it's so easy to come to church and hide behind a certain religious facade and sing the songs and dance before the Lord and have a good time and go home, and nobody knows what your own personal battle is. And I want to tell you, you can be in the ministry and you can be very involved in the ministry and in ministering to others, and you can have your own private battles going on that nobody else knows about unless somebody has the discerning of spirits. And I'm so thankful this morning that the Lord saw my need and he set the captive free. Praise the Lord. And if you've read the article in the May-June issue of Voices from His Excellent Glory on the spirit of Asmodeus, I wrote that. We're talking about the ministry that was to me. And so some of the things I say this morning will be a repetition of what is in that article. Now, at the onset, I want to say this. God established relationships. He established marriage before sin ever entered the world. It was not an afterthought on God's part. The fact that you have had problems in your family is because the devil would want to destroy that which God ordained before sin ever entered the world. There is a power and there is a protection. There is an authority in strong families. Your family unit is strong, man. You feel like you can conquer the world. You know that you're out there fighting in the world and you can go home and you know things are at peace at home and your mate loves you and your children are at peace and they love you. Man, you just feel like you're king of the hill. And you are. When things are strong at home, you have a strength. When two are walking together in unity, what does the scripture say? One can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000. That begins right in your own family unit. Not in the church as we think of it. It starts right at home and goes over into the church of Jesus Christ. So this is, God established marriages. He established it, and every time a marriage takes place, every single time, it is a type. It is speaking of a. It is a type of the marriage between Jesus Christ and His bride. So you can see why Satan will work overtime to try to prevent marriages from taking place. He doesn't want to see it happen. And what has been really interesting to me, as I have traveled around the world, that it's not just in the United States that the devil is trying to prevent marriages from taking place, or to break up marriages that are already in existence, but it's in other cultures. The culture may be a little different. The problem may surface just a little bit differently than it does right here, but nevertheless, it is still the hand of Satan to break up existing marriages. Now, I want to tell you some things about this spirit of Asmodeus. Now, the reason we know what the name of this demon is because the demon named itself when we were, as we prayed. Not immediately, didn't happen in the deliverance ministry itself, but a day later, the spirit named itself. And we had prayed that way in the deliverance meeting, that if there were any ruling spirits, that they would name themselves. And a day later, the spirit named itself. And I want to tell you that I thought I was having some kind of an illusion about things. I thought I had a very vivid imagination. And I want to say something else here too. If you're skeptical about this whole thing, I understand your skepticism. I've been as skeptical about a deliverance in general and this in particular as anybody. Last camp meeting, a minister came up to me and said, "You know what, you're teaching really sounds off the wall." And I says, "I couldn't agree with you more." I says, "If I had heard somebody else preach this instead of me, I would have said exactly the same thing." So when this name came to mind so strong, the only thing I could do was go to the encyclopedia and look it up. And I went to the encyclopedia, I guess it's in my notes there, got the Encyclopedia Britannica out, and under this name, I didn't even know how it was spelled, just began looking, hoping we were looking in the right direction, and it said a king of demons. It said the worst of demons. And I thought, oh my goodness. What have we got into here? And as we began to do even more research and more research and began to see how things began to come together, and we began to write down, I wrote down some of the things that was said about the spirit, and it goes back, it is mentioned in the apocryphal writings. It's mentioned in ancient literature. And I want to tell you something. Everything that is associated with mythology is not just mythology, it's demonic. It's not just fables. I was talking with somebody about some of these things, and they said, "You know, that's just fiction." I says, "Fiction, my eye. I says, this is demonic. And you open yourself up and start reading that stuff and watching those kind of movies and absorbing yourself with this kind of literature, you are giving place to the devil,
Amen.
Giving him an opportunity to move right in and take control in areas in your life. And so we find, first of all, about this demon, and its name means destroyer. Now, in the book of Revelation, there's a demon by name there, and it's called Apollyon, which also means destroyer. A lady called here to the campground one day, and she said, I read this thing about Asmodeus, but I'd like to see some indication of it in Scripture. Do you have anything in the Scripture you can point to that would give some verification to this? Well, you know, we don't see it in the King James Bible, New International Version. You don't see where that word Asmodeus or Asmodeus is there as such, but you see all kinds of references to the fact that the destroyer wants to destroy us. And what does the Scripture, and this is one of my very favorite verses of Scripture, in 1 John 3, verse 8, speaking of Jesus, it says that he came to destroy the works of the devil. For this reason was he manifest. I want to say this morning, at the onset, right here at the beginning, you can be set free. Jesus Christ has made available everything to you that you need to be free. You do not have to be under the oppression of the enemy. You do not have to be bound by demonic powers. When you hear the word of truth, you can be set free.
Amen.
Praise God. And so as we see first that he is a destroyer. He was a king of demons, a destroyer. It says in John 10:10, the thief comes but to kill, destroy, steal and destroy. But Christ has come, Jesus has come, that we might have life. And we don't have to concentrate on the negative side of this, but we want to just mention these things. And some of you who haven't heard previous tape or read anything, maybe you will see this morning by the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit that this has been a ruling spirit that has been over you. And I want to say also, Dr. Peter Wagner and the book that is back there on the table, dealing with dark angels or warring with dark angels. He is a professor at Fuller Seminary. And that book is a compilation of a seminar. And it's mentioned in there that as a result of deliverance, working with people, I believe it was in South America, that as demons identified themselves, there were six spirits that were listed as spirits that are ruling spirits over the world today, and one of them is Asmodeus. You can see that when you see what is happening to the family structure. But some of the ways of the spirit, not only is he a destroyer, but he is the spirit that has been credited with making Noah drunk after the flood. So we see that there's an association with that and drunkenness. And it's a spirit that is driven and is never at rest. Have you known people that have been that way? They're always being driven by something within. Impetuous, never finding their place, never satisfied in any relationship, always at unrest. It's impetuous. It is a spirit of jealousy. You had a jealous mate? I know of situations, especially one in particular that stands out in my mind, a husband and wife, and I mean, these are Christian people. And this man absolutely adores the ground that his wife walks on. I mean, he has eyes for nobody but her. He has a beautiful wife, lovely lady, except for one thing. She is so jealous of that man that it has caused terrible problems in their marriage. When she wouldn't, and I was convinced 20 years ago, before I believed in any of this stuff, that it had to be some kind of a spirit that was controlling her. I know of another case, a Pentecostal preacher. His wife was so bound by jealousy that she just finally drove him off. He finally left her. Now, I believe that the spirit was working in both of them. It wasn't just in her, but I believe it was working in both of them. Things that both of them were doing. It's a jealous spirit. And it is interesting that it is the spirit, it is the demon. I've learned from the Moody's that demons would prefer to be called spirits. They don't like to be called spirits. Spirits more acceptable. They don't want to be called what they are, devils. But it is the demon, the devil, that is associated with the excesses that Solomon submitted to in his later life. Solomon started out right, but his wives led him astray in his last days. And he began worshiping the demons and sacrificing to these demons. It is also a spirit, and this I should have mentioned as one of the first ways of it. It is a demon of rage. There are people that are angry all the time. Fly into a rage. How many of you know of marriages that have been destroyed because of an uncontrollable temper of a spouse? You know, there's a young lady I know. I was going to mention her in a moment, but I just was with her, saw her recently. I hadn't seen her in many, many years. But when we began to come to understanding on this spirit of Asmodeus, I thought, boy, this sounds just like this young lady. Young lady who's never been married. And it's interesting also because she is a child of an illegitimate child. So she's had this curse of the bastard on her life. And her father was an illegitimate child. He told me that, yet he was a very lovely Christian. But he felt the reproach of this, the curse of this on his life. And this is many years ago, 16, 17 years ago, when I became aware of that and didn't have anything to offer except, well, you know, Jesus has forgiven. I mean, it wasn't his fault that he was an illegitimate child. But that thing had been on his life, and I especially have seen it in the lives of his two daughters, who are both Christians. And this young woman has had a spirit that rises up her of rage. It takes hold of her, and I mean it devastates everything in her past when it gets a hold of her. And as I had been reading about this, I thought, boy, this sounds like this young woman. I took the literature. I was going to meet her a couple of weeks ago. She was in the area. I gave her the article. I didn't say a thing to her. I said, I'd like you to read this article that's in the magazine. She sat down. She began to read this. And she was looking at some of the manifestations of the spirit of Asmodeus, and she says, my goodness, and I didn't know how she was going to receive all this. I didn't at all. And she said, this sounds exactly like me. And I says, you know, Jesus can set you free. And she backed off. She wasn't quite ready for prayer. But I thought, well, that's okay. There was a time when I wasn't ready for prayer either. And in time, you know, God will meet her in her need. And there's many other things. Every relationship that she has had, she's never married, but in every relationship she has had before, she's been engaged to be married, had all the arrangements made and everything, and at the last minute something's happened to prevent it. And I said to her, I said, don't you think it's interesting that this has always happened? And she says, yes, I felt that there had to be something that was at work here, that it wasn't just coincidence that every relationship I've had has soured even when it's even been at the very last minute. It's a spirit. In the encyclopedia, it calls it the genius of matrimonial discord. And I want to read to you out of one book that I saw at the library. It is described as furious and shouting, the spirit of Asmodeus. He not only prevents sexual relations between husband and wife, but encourages adultery. My business, this demon says, is to plot against the newly married so that they may not know one another. I trance men into fits of madness and desire when they have wives of their own so that they leave them and go off by night and day to others that belong to other men with a result that they commit sin. Isn't that interesting? Now, there have been people that have come for ministry regarding the problems in their marriage, and you know, usually it's one of several things, or maybe a combination of all. It may be, well, one of the spouses has gone and committed adultery, or they've gotten into alcoholism, or they've gotten into extravagant spending. It is very often in these three areas. And it's interesting that one of the other mannerisms, one of the other attributes, I don't like to even use that word, of Asmodeus, it's the one that is associated with all kinds of extravagance, all the lewd fashion, all of the coveting after materialism is associated with Asmodeus. Kind of interesting, isn't it? I believe That it's a spirit that is behind the gay rights movement. I believe it's a spirit behind the ERA. It's a independent spirit that says it can get along on its own. It is a spirit that hates men and hates women. And it's also interesting that in ancient history, in early church history, it is a demon that is associated with people in ministry. And it says of it that it was a spirit that desired to possess young nuns, make them lustful. So, and we can see by the ministry and the things that have happened in ministry that I don't think it's just always, you know, just adultery or whatever it may be that has been ruining ministries, but it has been this ruler demon. Adultery is under this ruling demon whose name is Asmodeus. He's also a spirit that every relationship, we've prayed for people that have had problems in all kinds, every kind of relationship, not just a relationship with a spouse or a prospective spouse, but in friendships or in business partnerships where everything has always soured. And it says also of this that it is a spirit, even though it is a king of demons in this, when it is a ruler spirit over a person, this person becomes the butt of jokes, is easily duped in relationships, has the wool pulled over their eyes very easily. Does this sound like some of you and some of the things that you've labored with? It's also the controller of the gaming houses, one of the things that it says about it. Now, I think that, well, I won't say I think. I'm going to say, what can we do about this? And this spirit, just like every other spirit, every other demon, when we begin to deal with it, the thing that will begin to free us, first of all, is we have to repent. We have to repent of our sin. And, you know, I want to tell you, I don't think we can blame entirely our actions on, well, the devil made me do it. We have a will. We have personal responsibility. You can be troubled. You can be driven. You can feel pressures in your life that are the result of demonic interference and the result of the curses of as a result of the sins of the Father. But there still is this place where you give place to the devil, where you willfully sin. We willfully sin. We don't like to say that. I've noticed sometimes, and you know, when we know people and we love people and we want to help people, it's hard. You know, it's hard to minister deliverance to people that you know real well. Because you love them and you don't want to say, hey, you have sinned. I mean, it's obvious. We've all sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we'd like to make it generic, you know, and just a little ambiguous. Well, of course we sin, but, you know, in this area where we have really sinned and we've sinned against other people, we've got to take the responsibility for our sin and we have to repent. I have been reading Acts, Book of Acts recently. I've been looking at those sermons that the apostles preached after the day of Pentecost. I shared it here with our own members of our camp family last Sunday. When they preach, I'll tell you, they put the thumb screws on you. I mean, they said, you have crucified the Lord of glory. And I want to say to us this morning, by our sins, we have crucified the Lord of glory. We caused the crucifixion of Jesus. It is because of our sin. We have all sinned. We've all done things, every last one of us. We've done things we're ashamed of. Jesus has come to destroy the works of darkness. But I tell you what, first and foremost, we have sinned. And we have to repent of that this morning. You have got to repent of your sins. First of all, you've sinned against God. Secondly, when you've sinned, you've sinned against yourself. And I want to tell you what, when you sin, you also sin against your family. If you've allowed this spirit of Asmodeus to have control in your life, and you have submitted to the pressures that this demon has put upon your life, you've sinned against God, and you've sinned against yourself. This is a spirit that is behind immorality. It's the spirit behind adultery. It's the spirit behind fornication. I know that fornication is a demon and adultery is a demon. All of these things are interwoven. They're all intertwined. As you keep on going, you just begin to see that. But you've sinned against your family. I want you to think about that for a second. Your rage, your drunkenness, your immorality, you have sinned against your family and affected the lives of your children. Now, this demon is credited, it said of it that it was what got a hold of Solomon in his later life. You know, Solomon, this is a thought I just want to give to you. Solomon was a product of the union between David and Bathsheba. Is it possible that the effect of this was a spirit that hung over his life? And as he began to open himself to these demonic spirits that he allowed his wives to bring in, that at this point this spirit got in and got control. There is that possibility that it could be. You know, we see in a number of places, we see one very good example in the scripture where the sins of the fathers just really affect the children, and that's with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham was a liar. Isaac was a liar. I mean, Jacob was really had a problem. And you know, you don't always see the sin and the result of sin as in the first generation always as much as you do in the second and the third generation. You can look at your own family situations and you can look at your children and your grandchildren. And you see temperament in them and weaknesses in them that remind you of your father or remind you of yourself. We were praying for somebody. The Spirit of God revealed it and they brought it out that this spirit of Asmodeus was on their father. I believe that this spirit was in my family. In fact, I know it was in my family. And in the book of Leviticus, or you know, it's mentioned a number of times in the Old Testament law, how, you know, when the people repented, they repented for the sins of their fathers. That's why we do that. It breaks something in the spirit. We appropriate the blood of Jesus Christ to our bloodline. The work was finished on the cross, but we appropriate. Now, that was a hard one for me to understand initially. Because I was taught, and I believed, I mean, it was done at the cross, and it absolutely was done. Our sins are forgiven the moment we look to the cross, and we apply let the blood of Jesus be applied to our sins. It covers our sins. I want to tell you, my sins were covered for a long time, but there were a whole lot of problems that I was fighting every single day of my life. And just like we take the blood of Jesus and appropriate it to ourselves for healing, you know, there are people that they never knew, really, never had it taught to them that Jesus heals. They've never been taught that healing is for us because of the atonement. Never been taught, because they've never been taught, never heard it, they've never experienced divine healing. And how many people, when they begin to hear the truth of divine healing, they begin to be healed? By the same token, when we begin to hear the truth about being set free from demonic oppression and problems that have been in our life, we appropriate the blood of Jesus to those needs. I mean, it begins to happen. There are people here this morning, you've been crying out. Some of you have come to this camp meeting as a last resort. I know that. I mean, you hear things as you're walking around. People driven for hundreds of miles to come to be here as a last resort to get deliverance, to get set free. That this is the last thing you know to do. Jesus sets us free. Hallelujah. We don't have to go along. Okay, you've sinned against God. You've sinned against yourself. You have sinned against your family. And there are problems in your family because of your willful sin. And lastly, in this area of your personal responsibility here, you have sinned against the body of Christ. If you're a Christian and you've accepted Jesus as your Savior and you have gone along in willful sin, you have sinned against the body of Christ. Now, doesn't the Apostle Paul in the epistles talk about the fact that for this reason many are sick among you. He was talking about sin. Many sleep. I believe the reason there are so many problems in churches is because there's all kinds of sin that has never been dealt with. There's all kinds of demonic problems in people's lives that has never been dealt with. We want to dress it up. We want to deal with it another way. We want to call in the trained medical profession and psychiatrist to deal with a problem that is called S-I-N. It has been amazing to me, and I get aggravated sometimes when I see that our churches have just, with outstretched arms, embraced all kinds of Freudian teaching instead of dealing with the thing as it really is, sin. Now, I love you folks here this morning. God loves you. That's why He gave us Jesus, so you can be free from that sin. And I don't want you to make any excuses for your sin this morning. You've sinned, and Jesus will forgive you. You know, in Ephesians 4, it talks about in 4:27-28, it talks about not letting the sun go down on our anger, or not giving place to anger. And it says there, do not give place to the devil. When we willfully sin, we are giving place to the devil for him to come in with one of his bigger guys. You know, you young people that are in the service this morning, I mean, this is for all of us. You know, there are times, you know, people go out and willfully sin, not realizing the curses that it's bringing on their family line. And boy, I've really seen this in the Pentecostal churches. Willful sin. We have to repent. And we have to face what our sin has done to ourselves, our family, and the body of Christ. Now there's, you know, I want to backtrack here. I want to mention a couple of other things that this spirit, this demon, but some of the things that this demon does. Because one of the other manifestations of it is that it is a religious spirit. It's all these other things, and then here it is, a religious spirit. It can act religious. And there is a spirit in the land that sounds so religious. It sounds so good. And unless you really have the ears of the Spirit, it could almost deceive you. And it's a spirit a demon that would encourage people today not to get married. Now, Paul says that in 1 Timothy. You know, that in the last days there will be those that will forbid to marry. Now, we have seen that all the way through church history. That has been around. That isn't really anything new. But I want to tell you, I have seen that demon come right over into what we like to call end time churches. And I've seen this also manifested as false celibacy. You know, I have a preacher friend, young preacher friend, you know him, Brother Rod, our friend Greg. And he says, you know, we're going to get down here today where, his expression is where the rubber hits the road. You know, we're getting down here to where we all live, right down to the nitty gritty. And we want to say it like it is. I don't want to dress this up and speak ambiguously so you don't know what I'm talking about. But this is a spirit that has come in churches. There's a church I'm acquainted with right now. In fact, it's really, you might call it a prayer group. And they are so holy. I mean, they really are people that are seeking after God, really have a heart after God. And that spirit has come in there that is threatening beautiful marriages because there's this teaching that comes in that on a false celibacy, that if you're really going to move into everything that God has for you, you're not going to have sex with your mate anymore. I mean, what's one of the first things that's going to cause a breakup and real problem in a marriage? I mean, the Apostle Paul, I mean, he laid it out straight. He said to just come apart for a time of fasting and then come together again lest you be tempted. That is a wrong spirit speaking to you. I know of one situation. There's so many situations. I know I've been in this walk long enough, been in the ministry long enough. You finally hear all kinds of situations and every kind of circumstance, and you get almost overwhelmed after a while, but you find that the lie of the devil will come in so many different kinds of forms, and sound so good to get people off the track of what God has called you to. I was in a church a couple of years ago over in North Carolina. It was a Pentecostal church. And this is even before I began to have understanding and revelation on this thing about Asmodeus. And I was in this church, and I had been there for several days. And I'd been in this church before and had wonderful meetings there, and God had really moved. But this time when I came, I began to see things a little bit differently. And 70% of the people in this church were not married. And they were not young kids either. I mean, 20s and 30s and 40s, many of them were never married. Others were divorced. There was a few people that were widowed, but it was mostly divorced and never married. And as I stood there and as I continued ministering night after night, I thought, something is drastically wrong here. Finally, on the last night, I preached, not on this, but I began to preach how God wants you to have faith for a mate. that's what I preach, and I'll tell you what. And some of those people have been married for years and years. They kind of snickered. But I'll tell you, I saw hope begin to spring in the eyes of the rest of them. That maybe there was hope for them after all. And I want to say that to you this morning. It's God's will for you to be in families. What we're seeing with all the singles today, this isn't God's will for you. And there is a thing that, I mean, I heard this when I was in Bible school. And I want to say this to you today. I think that we've put a lot of heaviness on people. You know, I don't really think the issue is generally, is it God's will for me to get married or not? The issue is, who should I marry? Not whether I should. God has made us, I want to say it again and underscore it three times. He's made you to be in families. Now listen, even though we're living in troubled times, God is able to provide for you. I really believe that. Touch on, what'd you say? Want me to touch on that? Did you say? Now there is a place. I believe the scripture bears this out. That there is a place for celibacy, in life. There are people that are called to that. Jesus mentions it in Matthew. That he talks about them as eunuchs, for the kingdom's sake. And the apostle Paul said, and I think people have gotten hung up on this portion of scripture and not read it in its entirety and what Paul was saying for the hour. He says, I wish you could be even as I am. He says, I'd like to spare you. And he's talking about the ministry and he's talking about the present distress. And we need to take that in its whole and not just take a couple of verses out of there and put it on people and try to comfort them with this. It's not a comfort. There's a lady I know up in Iowa where I grew up. She's 83 years old. And God has called her like he called Anna of old that we read about in the scripture. This lady, I've known her since I was 17 years old. So we're very close friends. She's been my spiritual mother. But when she was 12 years old, and she wasn't Pentecostal, didn't know anything about that, belonged to the Christian Reformed Church. She was playing out in the cornfield. Only if you grew up in the upper Midwest can you know how kids love to play out and get by themselves out in the cornfield. And she was playing by herself out in the cornfield, and the Spirit of the Lord came to her and began to speak to her. And he told her that he had called her to be an intercessor and that she would have a life that would be devoted to prayer. And that she was not to get married. And that God would take care of her. She wasn't supposed to go out and work. She was to stay home. Now, this is when she's 12 years old. She stayed home. She took care of her parents. She took care of both of her parents till they died. She has had meetings in her home for 40 years. People have come into her home from all over the world. Politicians have come into her home. Missionaries come into her home. All these years, people have come and gone through her home as she has ministered to them in that which God called her to do. There's no doubt in my mind, I've never doubted for one second, that she heard from a wrong spirit. I believe she heard from God. That was settled. That was an issue that was settled in her life when she was still a child. She never was out looking. In fact, there was a young man that came to her house and she'd introduce them to her girlfriends and they'd get married. And there have been a few people, there have been a handful, not even a handful, about three that I personally know that really were called to that ministry. Now, I want to mention to you something else. You don't have to be single to be an overcomer. And you don't have to be married to be an overcomer. You know, sometimes you think, oh, well, I've got so many distractions around me, I just can't give myself to the Lord. We've got a wonderful example in the Scripture of two men that were overcomers. One was single and one was married. And it says, of, you know what happened to them? God took both of them, Enoch and Elijah. So because you've got problems associated with just living and having family responsibilities and raising children and things like that, you can still be an overcomer. If you're married, you can be an overcomer if you're single. So we want to begin to pray this morning that if this demon has been hindering your life, and if it has come, you know, somebody asked me yesterday, I believe it was, how do you open yourself up to this spirit? Well, I don't have the answers on this. I mean, I'm learning as we go on this. I'm getting a little more revelation every time I preach this message. Every time I sit down and study the Scripture, there's a little more I'm beginning to understand. But I know that, as we've already shared, there are, because of the sins of your parents, it very well could open the door to many of the problems that have faced you in your life. I became aware of satanic interference against my life when I was 4 years old. You haven't done much when you're 4 years old, generally, you know? But I became aware of that which was bombarding me when I was 4 years old. I have since found, since I've been an adult, and I began to research my family a little bit, and, you know, my father died when I was an infant, and so I had to go to my father's family and begin to find out some things. And you know, as I was sharing Sunday morning here with our own staff, you know, I didn't like it when somebody said to me, "You're just like your father." I never knew my father. But when I began to delve into the family and begin to ask questions, I found out, yes, indeed, I have been in the past a lot like my father. But Jesus came to break the curse of that bloodline. Amen. And He has been doing it for me. Praise the Lord. He will do it for you this morning. So the very first thing we are going to do is we're going to repent. And I'm going to ask you, each one of you, we're going to take a few moments here. I'm not going to ask you to pray after me. I'm going to ask you to just make an altar right there at your seat. I just want you to pray right there. And where you have sinned and transgressed the law of God, where you've sinned against God, you've sinned against your own body, you've sinned against your family, and you've sinned against the body of Christ, I want you to ask God to forgive you right now. Just begin to pray. Ask God to begin to show you. He will show you. And before you do, I want to say one more thing. You know, you can have this spirit on you as a single person, and you can go into a marriage without getting deliverance from it. And this thing will plague, as we've already been talking about, will plague you in your marriage. So getting married in itself is not the answer if you're single. I was just a few weeks ago in Upper Wisconsin, Assemblies of God Church, talking with a pastor, and I started talking to him about the spirit of Asmodeus. And he says, that was cast out of my deacon. I says, well, tell me about it. He says, I took my deacon to a service over here where this deliverance preacher was, and he says, there was just a handful of us, and he says, each one of us got our turn to go up and have him pray. And this man, and I know this man, and he had been married three times when he got saved.
came into the church, got saved. He'd been married 3 times. And so he met a lady in the church, wanted to get married again, so he got married for the 4th time. And I'll tell you, he hadn't been married a month, and his wife was wanting to leave him. They went to this deliverance service up in Wisconsin. This deacon went up and sat down by this man that was ministering deliverance. He didn't know him, never seen him, took him by the hand, and he says, "I come against that spirit of Asmodeus." And this deacon opened his mouth, and he says, "Get out of here. I don't want anything to do with you." I loved it when I heard that. Anyway, this man's pastor told me, he says, he came away from that place changed. He has never been the same since. And I was there and just had services, and I would have to say he's not the same person that I knew when I was there 2 years ago. This thing is troubling you. You're going to be free, but we're going to repent. I wanted to say that. Now let's just begin to pray. Lord, just open up all the areas in the lives of your people here this morning. And I pray by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, just reveal where each one has sinned against you in Jesus' name. Just begin to pray. Lord, you see those that have been torn. You see those that have been devastated by the destroyer, by the spirit of Asmodeus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are greater than every demonic stronghold. We thank you that the blood prevails this morning. We thank you that the blood cleanses. We thank you that because of the blood we have healing. Because of the blood we have deliverance this morning. And Lord, we just come. I come on behalf of your people here today. And I pray, Heavenly Father, for forgiveness to flow. God, cleanse from all unrighteousness. Where there has been immorality this morning, where there has been alcoholism, where there has been all kinds of promiscuity and fornication and adultery, Lord, just sweep over this congregation this morning with your mercy and cleanse from all unrighteousness in the name of Jesus. Where there has been people being driven in all the excesses and all of the carnality that comes with this spirit, we take authority right now in the spirit realm and declare that your moment has come. Demon, you will have no more influence in the lives of your people, in the lives of God's people here this morning. In Jesus' name. Now, I want us to pray together now. I want you to receive cleansing. Have you asked the Lord to forgive you? Jesus Christ forgives your sins. You are forgiven your sins as you ask Him to cleanse you this morning. I want us to pray collectively. I want you to pray after me this morning. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've forgiven me my sins. Thank you that you've forgiven me my immorality. Thank you that you're forgiving me my impurity. Thank you that you've forgiven me from all of my excesses. Thank you that you're forgiving me for my anger and rage. Thank you that you've forgiven me for all of my jealousy. Thank you, you've forgiven me for drunkenness. Thank you that you've forgiven me for my hatred of men. Thank you for giving my hatred of women. Thank you for forgiving me of all that I have done to cause havoc in my family. And I break the curses that are over me because of the sins of my past, the sins of my fathers. I repent of the sins of my fathers. I break the curse that has come down through my bloodline because of the sins of my fathers. And I break the allegiance that I have made with this demon in Jesus' name. And I thank you right now for cleansing. I thank you for deliverance in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Lord, you've heard the cry of your people. You've heard the words of their mouth. You've heard the words of our mouth, Lord Jesus. And we thank you that deliverance is flowing here this very moment. And I take authority over this demon, this ruling spirit of Asmodeus, and all of the host of spirits that come with it. I take authority and I call them out right now in the name of Jesus. Every demon of lust, every demon of impurity, every demon of promiscuity, every demon of homosexuality and lesbianism, every spirit of gambling, every spirit of alcoholism and drunkenness, every spirit of covetousness, every demon of covetousness, I bind you right now and cast you off and off of your people in Jesus' name. I just want you to begin to let that go right now. Just come, let it come out of you. Just take a deep breath. Let it begin to come out of you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We take our authority as children of God right now, and we release ourselves from these demons of the enemy in Jesus' name. Brother Glenn, I'd like you to come and just continue to pray if you would. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. If you'd like somebody to pray with you, just raise your hand right now and we'll come around and we'll just pray with you as we just all pray together.
Father, we take authority as priests of this place this morning. I take authority over these spirits and I bind them. Bind them to the day of judgment. Father, thank you for the angel of the Lord here with us to minister to these people. We praise you for it, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your ministry to each one of us, Father, individually in these areas. Father, I thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for moving by your Spirit here. And we break these powers and dominions over these people in Jesus' name. We break the dominions of it and we loose them from it in the name of the Lord. We break the demonic powers and spirits. We loose us from it in Jesus' name. You foul spirits, I bind and break your dominion. I bind you to dead judgment. I break your dominion over this congregation in the name of the Lord. And I loose these people from these powers in Jesus' name. I break their dominion over them and I loose them in the name of the Lord. Come out of them, loose them, set them free. Break the powers of it in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for the authority of your name, the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. Is there anybody else here that feel they want somebody to come pray with them? Put your hand up. Here's two over here. Irma? Yes. Erlene? Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for deliverance. We thank you for the understanding that you've given unto us. We praise you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for bringing the word of the Lord to us. Thank you. We bless Linda, Lord, for the revelation that you've given unto her and her faithfulness to minister it. Administer it. We thank you for it, Jesus. Jean, over here. All right, whoa. Okay. Lady in the third row back there. Put her hand up. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Lord, we thank you, Father. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the authority of your Word. We thank you for it flowing, Lord, setting the captives free, Lord, loosing us, setting us free. We praise you for it, Jesus.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Come, Holy Spirit.
Ladies' meeting will be at 1:15, men's meeting at 1:15, and then the afternoon general session around a little after 2:30.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.